one, but two Take That tunes. Unbelievable. I must be feeling unwell. No, absolutely.
I'm honoured, Alex. I'm moved. Truly am.
I can tell that, Sue. And it's fair to say that Dan's also been moved, thanks to a presentation that we've had there, in betwixt the music that I was hearing there from Take That, because, Dan, you've just been presented by the ultimate gifts from Young Bridget.
Absolutely. Parma violets, the large ones, not the small ones, which last no time at all, and a jar of sweets, which will see me probably to the end of the internal bridge when I'm leaving here.
And it's funny, Bridget was very concerned this morning. In the end, she actually had to set up a special contract with the badger in the corner there to actually ensure that the badger actually hid the sweets, because she said... Exactly. This is the whole point. You see, she was saying, he couldn't see them when you came in because it would spoil the surprise.
Absolutely.
I knew that badger had its uses.
Yeah, got to be hidden. Yeah. But if you think these are being shared, you've got another thing coming.
Critical stuff, really. So, Amelia, from the point of view of what... I mean, I could see that Dan Hatfield really should be booked immediately now for the next Linkature Events package, really. So get the contract
just
signed.
Just for the Linkature show.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
Talk to us more about the fact... tickets, obviously, available now for the 131st Linkature show, and a whole heap of other exciting things there, including, we see in the main ring, the amazing Kangaroo Kid, and he's not even Australian.
Pardon?
The Kangaroo Kid.
Yeah.
And he's not even Australian.
No,
exactly.
he is from Brisbane, but yeah. So it's that's in the Clydesdale.
He's Australian then, obviously.
Yeah. I didn't quite know where you were going with that. So yeah, in the main ring we've got lots going on. So we've got the Kangaroo Kid, which features both days, but we also have the RAF Falcons, which I mentioned earlier, which are fantastic. And Wilders last year, so we booked them again.
And I'm thinking, actually, you know, surely that would be the next stage, Dan. That the next thing is you actually parachute in to the Linkature show with the RAF Falcons.
I mean, it is in the pipeline at the moment. Yes. We looked at it, but I don't think they've found a plane kind of that's strong enough to take my weight after all the sweets.
You don't like heights.
Well,
either,
I don't
so
like
that's
no
really
no. I wasn't
work,
wanting
it?
To. Even this chair's wound up a bit high. For me. So no, but what a good idea! I'll get
you
my
definitely need to look into that for your next gig.
Absolutely,
parachuting.
Yeah,
always looking at that whole system. Dan, have you been to the Linkature show before?
Do you know something? Having been a Linkature lad and being nearly 40, no. No,
isn't that outrageous?
Completely outrageous.
Yeah,
you need to rectify that. You need to get you some tickets.
I don't know why I've not been. I think I've probably spent the best part of 30 years cursing the traffic, but I've actually not been to the show.
Just go with it. That's what we say. Just need to just go with it and come to the showground.
I'll put it on my bucket list to do.
Okay, exactly. Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our celebrity designated reporter. Co-host with Sue Royce. Marvellous.
That's
two celebrities.
I'm sure the rest of the show team would be delighted to see you, actually. So that'd be great.
Reporting live from the beer tent. That's fine.
That's fine.
Sounds good.
Any questions you'd like to put to Dan about life, the universe, and why, and indeed advice in terms of why he should actually come to the Linkature show? So.
Questions in terms of sort of your career. So what's sort of been a highlight for you?
Well, the highlight, I suppose, has got to be last Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, not working for the University of Lincoln.
Well, that was a highlight.
That's a close second,
some
isn't it?
Years ago. Yeah, that's right. It was actually 3 years ago this week that I left, but... yeah, if somebody had told me then that 3 years on I'd be singing with Gary, that would have been quite a mind-blowing thing to consider. And I have to say, last Friday night was immense. I mean, it was immense for Anita and Alex, who got married, and it was immense for the conspirators who we were involved with Gary trying to make this work. And when he finally came through the door and we saw Anita's face, it was worth the payoff. It was worth the tears of pain that Anita had gone through thinking that Gary wasn't coming to the wedding, and for that to be such a great payoff was wonderful. So, yeah, I guess that was the highlight. It's hard to top that, really.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that sounds great.
Actually, no, I think the highlight was him forgetting the words to Million Love Songs and me reminding him.
That's quite impressive.
I mean, I did tell. I leaned into him and I said, "How many times have you sung this, pal?" And he leaned back and went, "Help me out, mate. Help me out. I know."
Did he have the lyrics written on his arm?
I mean, he'd just come from a show in Manchester. I mean, I don't know how. I really don't know how he does it. It's incredible. But yeah, it was a good night.
Very good.
Of course, it's been a bit of a media whirlwind. Just talk us through some of the sort of gigs that you've been doing since, of course, coming to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Oh, well, actually, I had to go down and... well, I went down on Saturday following the wedding where Gary came to sing at a wedding on Saturday evening down south, which two lovely people getting married. The groom was actually from Grimsby. So it was an odd thing going from a wedding where Gary was singing at to a wedding where Gary wasn't singing at. But fortunately, I felt so relaxed the night after the Friday night. So it was nice to go down and do a wedding that was lovely in itself and no pressure of a world pop star walking through the door having to sing with him. So, but yeah, and then I'm up to Scotland this weekend for two shows, Edinburgh and Aberdeen.
So it's Gary McBarlow.
The Iron Brew is on ice this week.
Just don't clap, because obviously, as we heard from Richard Fitzwilliams, if you start applauding there, who knows what can happen. It's the old Glaswegian. Amazing. Right, yeah. Amelia, very briefly, back to the Lincolnshire show. How can people actually get tickets for this fantastic event?
They can buy them online on our new website, lincolnshireshow.co.uk. So that's something we launched last year, but we have a brand new website for this year, so please click on there and you can get tickets, but also you can get membership to our society, which is How to See the Show in Style. So if you want to go onto the members lawn and visit both days, it's definitely worth looking into. So all of the information is available there. We also have 40 ticket outlets around the county which are listed on our website. Most of the co-ops also sell them, so and it's definitely worth buying them in advance because you do save money.
As far as Siren FM is concerned, it's worth mentioning the show comes to town.
It is, yeah.
Or as I like to say, the show comes to twain. Still nice. Wearing trousers.
Yeah, so that's tomorrow and on Saturday. So tomorrow we are in Gainsborough and we are putting on a mini Lincolnshire show, and it's something we started last year, and it's basically to give people an idea of what to expect at the Lincolnshire show. So we have mini displays, a fantastic performance area, and all the show team. So you can come and meet us and learn more about the show. So we're in Gainsborough tomorrow.
You can actually meet Chloe Middleton.
You can meet Chloe. Amazing. And Chris.
And Chris, yeah.
Chris and Chloe show. but yeah, so we're in Gainsborough tomorrow, and then Lincoln City Centre as well on Saturday, which I'm hoping you might be there, Alex.
I probably won't be, but I think Ed Wellman should be.
As long as Ed's there.
She knows how quickly she saw Ed. Okay. Well,
whereabouts in Gainsborough are you, Amelia?
In the Market Square. Yeah.
And of course, it's going to be, I think, Bridget's first ever Lincolnshire show. Is that right?
It is. Yeah.
So there.
Oh, you're second.
Yes. Well, we have lots of fantastic things for children, actually. And this year we've launched. Yeah, we do have fishing, but we also have an activity pack which you can download on the website, which has loads of different things that you can do before the show. And we have a treasure hunt on the Lincolnshire show days, so she can go round as well.
Brilliant.
I suspect Bridget was actually confusing the Lincolnshire show with the Countryside event that we had in Countryside Live. Was that the case?
The Countryside Links. Yes, Countryside Links.
So
the show is like
a bigger version of that.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you having the NatWest Jazz Band this year?
We aren't having. Not that I'm aware of. We're not having the jazz band.
Because there used to be a big bandstand. I don't know whether it's still there, actually. I didn't look last time.
We have quite a few stands that offer music and things like that, and we do have a performance area where local bands meet, but I'm not sure whether that jazz band are
and
performing.
Amazingly, Bridget has also proven that she is a great artist, presented Gary with a superlative, and it'll be on eBay, I'm sure, before too long. It will be on eBay because it's all signed by Bridget, an image of indeed Dan and Gary.
That's
phenomenal.
I'm looking at this now. I'm bluer than I've ever been. Gary appears to be.
That's you.
Oh, sorry. Gary's bluer than he's ever been. Oh, you know, he looks like he's wearing the blue suit from the tour.
He's wearing a
cover-up blue suit, and I look
you're
like I'm the lion from The Wizard of Oz.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM. It's our child special, our child friend.
Yes.
Wonderful stuff. Okay, coming up in the second hour of the programme, we'll be speaking to Philippa Carr and celebrity chef Omar Aliboy, talking about wine and how we're sort of changing our wine taste, etc. William Sitwell will be joining us. Louis Savvy, chief executive of Sci-Fi London, will be talking about Sci-Fido, and Emma Tinson will be giving us her considered views over the programme. Regrettably, it looks as though the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show team will have to head off to the Lincolnshire Showground.
Yeah, there's just too much to do, Alex.
Just too much to do. On the show, exactly, consistently for that point of view. We've given the name to the tickets. Those are actually available for that point of view. It's worth mentioning that if you actually book tickets in advance, you can save money.
Yes, you can indeed. You can buy them on the gate, but it's worth looking into it.
And from your own perspective, Amelia, mm-hmm. is there anybody who's stepping into your shoes as yet when you actually do take that?
Not officially. Obviously, we have Chris on board now, which is fantastic. So we've got three people in the department, which is great. Mm-hmm. But no, I'll be making my escape in early July, but I'll be back. I should
certainly hope so, because you just stepped into a whole range of things that just would not be.
It'll be fantastic though. Next year, I'll come to the Lincolnshire Show as a visitor, which will be surreal.
Pushing a buggy.
That'll
be a new one for you.
We'll sign you up as one of our reporters from that point of view. Having an argument, do we go up with a Gary Barlow track to the news? There really isn't time, and we could squeeze about a minute's worth of So Help Me Girl. Would you think that would be okay?
It's Ed's favourite.
All right then. Okay.
Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive.
Excellent, many thanks. Okay, weather today, highs of 15 degrees centigrade, lows of 8 degrees centigrade, are bright and breezy with some sunny spells. Etienne, heart failed in the back of a taxi. Would have been ideal for Peter Frampton last night, of course, on New York Gabby Cabby. Well, slight air of relief as we still have the fabulous Dan Hadfield in the studio, in the house, so to speak, Dan in the house. Jessica Ward is with us, of course, and Bridget's with us as well. Jessica, any questions you'd like to put to Dan before we go live to Philippa Carr, our international wine expert, and Omar Aliboy, our celebrity chef?
Yeah, so what was the process in becoming more famous, I suppose?
Gosh.
More famous than working at Lincoln. Can it get any better?
Gosh, yes, I don't think about that at all. To me. Okay. No, not at all. I'm not famous by any means. I think I've got a small following that seems to be getting bigger, if that's any measure. But no, I just keep going out there, and if people enjoy what I'm doing, and I hope they do, then we'll take it from there. Yeah. I know there's T-shirts you can buy with my face on, but I think most people just sleep in them, to be fair with you.
So there's an important point, Dan, because actually one of the things that comes across is there's a quality that's actually there, and even if you take out the lookalike aspect, you could probably still go on as Dan Hadfield. Presumably that must be something you might look towards
as
well.
That's it. I mean, I'm doing two things at the moment, two projects. I'm doing a covers album of Gary and Take That work, which should be out at the end of this year, but I'm writing my own album, which is incredibly difficult, but that's what I intend to do, and hopefully that will be somewhere towards the end of next year, early 17, and that would just be as me.
I think the Ballads of Lincoln University should definitely
that's the fourth track actually on it. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. It'll be somewhere between bad and good. Who knows?
It'd be excellent. I've no doubt from that point of view. And international sort of line, is that sort of something? Because I'm thinking New Zealand, clearly.
I'm not quite sure how well known Gary is over in
Australia. I think he's quite well known.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Most people have heard of Robbie Williams, but not just in Gary Barlow.
Jessica was in her school choir singing Can't Help Falling in Love as a last Bridget age.
Wow.
So, you know.
You're
making me blush.
Absolutely fantastic.
How did you learn to sing like this?
How did I learn to sing? What, like Gary, or just at all? Because I don't think I've learned to sing at all yet.
How did you learn to sing in on the stage?
Stage? Well, I started when I was about 14. I was Danny in a school production of Grease, and I sounded terrible. Absolutely terrible, couldn't sing.
This car hydromatic? Was it exomatic?
It was
Grease Lightning!
It was Grease Lightning. Fortunately, I think most of the audience were tone deaf, so it didn't really matter that night. So, yeah, that was the first time.
And at the end of the day, Bridget would always say, you're the one that she wants.
Nice.
Summer loving. It's all coming together. UB40, red, red wine. Makes me Well, we had to feature UB40 after all. Red Red Rhine, we could have obviously gone with Neil Diamond, but no, the best way to introduce that ace international wine expert extraordinaire, Philippa Carr, and indeed celebrity chef Omar Alibai, is with Red Red Wine, particularly given what we're going to be talking about. Philippa, good morning, how are you?
Greetings, good morning, very well, thank you.
Excellent, and Omar, likewise, good to welcome you to the show, how are you?
Buenos dias to everyone.
So, despite our love of wine, British people lack confidence experimenting with new varieties. And we have in Dan Hatfield in the studio not only an ace award-winning Gary Barlow lookalike, but Dan, somebody, you've been also testing your wine. You're not in Philippa's car's class.
I'm
who
certainly
is,
not.
Really,
you know? I'm certainly not. Absolutely. Sunday nights are my wine nights, and I'm experimenting at the moment and trying to learn a little bit about wine.
How does somebody like Dan go about with this, Philippa? What's the stage forward? Is it a case of, you know, we just look for what's good, or do we get blown away by your wonderment?
Well, the latter, obviously. But I think that we have to remember that wine should be fun. You know, when we go on holiday and we have the local food and the local wine, it's just all about enjoyment. So I think the one of the main things is, you know, just relax about it and enjoy it, and listen to what friends recommend, listen to what a local broadcaster might say, and latch on to maybe a brand which, or a range of wines which you can then explore within. And we've launched at Asda this new range called Wine Atlas, which is all about really colourful, fun labels and wines which are, you know, local and tasty and affordable, and make you think of where they come from, because wine's all about geography. So I think it's drink like the locals.
Omar, you're officially classified as the Antonio Banderas of cooking. And I think I'd agree with that whole side of things. I mean, it's the action approach that you bring to all sorts of things. What are your thoughts on the whole wine aspect in terms of... Is it a case of sometimes in Britain we just get too het up and too stressed out about what should be a very enjoyable thing to consume?
Definitely, but as with everything, it comes with knowledge. You know, people want to try new things, yet most people don't have the tools, or, you know, they don't read on magazines, or they are not told by anyone. So, unfortunately, in the restaurant we see it every day. Unless one of the waiters offers you something different, you would go for what you know. In our case, it will be the Riojas and so on. But there is so many more magnificent wines, you know, in different regions of Spain, different regions of every country in the world, because of what Philippa said. Geography, wines taste different within 50 kilometers distance from each other, you know, in the vineyard. The soil is different, the climate is different, the people that collect it and the way it's done. And as soon as you start learning a bit and appreciating the differences between one and the other, it becomes incredibly enjoyable. And as well with food matching, it does work very well. And it's not just about enhancing the food, but it goes both ways. It's about the food enhancing the wine, and the same time as the wine enhancing the food and enhancing the experience, as Philippa was saying. So being adventurous, it's a great thing, because it makes a much more fun dining experience.
And I think also, you know, think, you know, matching the wine of the region of the country to the food of that region. So if you're going into Omar's tapas restaurant, you know, if you're trying something which is, say, the pulpo, which is absolutely delicious, is it's brilliant. Have that with a Spanish wine like Godello or something from Galicia, and then that goes really well. And that's what we've tried to do with the Wine Atlas. We've tried to say, you know, let's bring your holiday home and help people experiment with it within a range. And you know, the three quarters of wine drinkers want to try something different, but the vast majority of us just stick to what we know, because we're scared of trying, you know, something else and making the expensive mistake. But, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of wines out there. So let's get out and try some of them.
Philippa, if I can just bring in Sue Royce now. Sue, I suspect you're a lady who likes her occasional glass of of wine and so on. I mean, you're sipping
yes,
coffee at present.
Yes, I
do. You've been listening to what Philippa and Omar have been saying. Your thoughts from yourself?
Oh, I absolutely buy into that because certainly we're... family of wine drinkers, and I have been from a very early age. I was brought up that with a meal, particularly on a Sunday, we would have wine, and I'd watch my dad very carefully. He'd be choosing off the wine menu, and depending on what we were having, depended upon what he would pick, whether it would be a white, or whether it would be a French white, or a German white, or and whether you were drinking socially.
I'm getting confused already with respect to that range.
You see,
I mean, yeah. It might be okay in Skegness,
but what you want
still,
it for.
Is that ultimately it, Omar? From that point of view, when we start thinking about that, you have your personal choices, but maybe you don't always have to have red wine with a particular meal. Maybe you can actually sometimes switch to white and so on.
Definitely, but as well, it's about experimenting. I think once you've tried red wine with, let's say, a razor clam or a fillet of cod or a prawn, let's say garlicky prawns, you will feel that it feels quite oxidized, both the prawn and the wine, and that doesn't make, you know, that it doesn't feel good. So definitely matching is quite important. But something that I've always been fascinated about this country, and I've been living in England for 10 years, it's how absorbent you are, you know, how you've made the cuisines of the world your own, but not the wines. You know, you cook Italian pastas, Thai curries, Indian curries, Chinese stir fries, Spanish dishes, yet you haven't evolved on your wine, in the wines that you choose. And I think it's just a matter of a bit of education and just, you know, you've been so adventurous all the time that it's quite frustrating that on the wines you just don't evolve. But I think it's about to happen.
Yeah, and from a wine point of view, you know, I go out travelling and tasting lots of different wines, and I know people go out on holiday and do the same. And we are so lucky in this country. We're importing wines from virtually every wine-producing region in the world. And yet people stick to very much the same small repertoire, either personally or as a nation. You know, we're, you know, Pinot Grigio or Malbec, both of which are great, but there's so much else out there. I mean, we've got a wine atlas Grillo from Sicily, which absolutely evokes Sicily's climate and the lemons and herbs, and it's wonderful. And I think it's the new Pinot Grigio. But we've just got to enable people to have that confidence to try different things, so that you know, they're trying lots of different cuisines. Now let's move into the arena of wine. Now
I'm just impressed that obviously your wine as well is sort of selling in Walmart stores, including Japan, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show. Take it. Finally, we've got a New Zealand undergraduate here, a journalism student, Jessica. Jessica, students and wine—they don't go together, do they?
I know a few of my friends quite like to have wine, but I'm not that much of a wine person myself. Not yet. I think I might dabble in it later on in life.
I think there'll be an acquired taste coming through. Omar, one of these days we're going to have to do a location report from one of your fantastic Tapas Revolution restaurants, because it's ace stuff to actually work through there. Clearly, you've given to the London citizens a joy of culinary delights unmitigated, which is great stuff. Finally, Philippa, what's the best place to go to find out more about wine? People are listening to this particular piece of it, say, well, this is all very good. Do we just go online, check out the Asda setup? How can people find out the details?
You can go into local stores and try, you know, the Wine Atlas. You can go online. And if you go on to the Asda Wine Shop, I do a weekly blog as well, just talking about, you know, things that have inspired me about the world of wine. So
that's
that should help
just
you as
no
well.
There's no limits to your talents, Philippa. This is phenomenal.
Thank you so
great
much.
Stuff. And again, the interesting line, the UK wine market expected to grow in value by 6.1% to £13.14 billion by 2018. £13.14 billion, that is. Omar and Philippa, it's been a delight to feature your good souls today. Have you had a reasonably interesting and reasonably tasty connection with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
very much.
Thank
Good.
You.
That's
yeah,
okay.
I think it's been great fun.
I can tell you were just sipping the wine there in the wonderful On Broadcast studios because I have a whole range of things there. So I take it then you'll both return in the not-too-distant future.
Most kind. Thanks a lot.
See you soon.
I see the young ones slowly strolling on the Friday promenade. The sun is low, their faces glowing, hopeful hearts out on display. In the dreams are wine and roses, quiet picnics in the park, holding hands and rubbing noses, softly kissing in the dark. I was much the same.
A little smidgen there of Heidi Talbot with Wine and Roses takes us neatly to our ace, a resident wine expert and general all-round wonderful expert. It's William Sitwell on his bike somewhere in Woking. How are you, William?
Fine.
Oh, we got a slight fine there, and then it's all right. Are you pedalling whilst speaking, which is phenomenal, really? No. It seems as though William is not around.
It was so overwhelming. He dropped off his bicycle.
Do you think he's been drinking?
Drinking, right?
William Sitwell drinking in sight. No, it wouldn't happen whatsoever. He could just be impressed by actually
Absolutely.
Having the Dan Hatfield, the ultimate sort of Gary Boyle look. We'll try and reach William again in a few seconds, actually, whilst we're working through that, and hopefully connect with him whilst he's sort of safe, and obviously legal to do so, basically, because that's important. Let's move on. Jessica, you were in the midst of a fine interview with Dan before you actually went and did escort duties for Bridget, which is perfectly okay. So take it away. We're still to come on the programme. We've got Louis Savvy from Sci-Fi London and Emma Tinson, but the floor is now yours, Jessica.
So I can
You can
just
ask Dan
anything.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Why, anything, wow.
He might answer.
Decision. Well, Bridget was just asking you about your confidence. How have you managed to build your confidence over the years, I suppose?
Well, I guess I've always been a confident person, there's no doubt, but there's a thin line between being confident and being arrogant, isn't there? And I don't think I'm arrogant, not at all. And in my private life, you've got to play it very, very cautiously. But there's also no point in going on stage and shying away. So as soon as you set foot onto the stage or walk through the stage door or in front of a load of people, even if you're doing a presentation at university, there's no point in shying away. You're there to kind of grab that audience and make them listen and make them enjoy. I heard something on the radio about, I don't know, 10 years ago, which really made me think. And it's that an audience goes to see a performer and they want that performer to succeed. They don't go and sit and wait for them to fail. They want that performer to succeed. And I think sometimes when you're a bit wobbly as a performer, you go out and you think the opposite. You think that they're waiting for you to fail, but they're not, because you know what it's like if you're watching somebody give a presentation and they're not very good, you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you know, an audience doesn't want to feel uncomfortable, so they want you to do well. And I think you need to get that in your head when you go out and let them have it.
It's all about positive thinking.
It is, yeah, it is, it is, and it's amazing how positive thinking can kind of iron over the small parts.
Oh, but there was plenty of that going on Friday night.
Yeah.
Well, how did you the prospect of actually having Gary on your stage? It wasn't his stage; it was yours.
Well,
what did that feel like?
I know it was amazing. It really was. I think the hardest part of that was, apart from the transition of getting Gary onto the stage, because I did about six songs before he arrived, had the nod that he was here. And then I finished the song I was doing. We started the track A Million Love Songs off, and then he came on. We had the craziness of him arriving and Anita's amazing face and that song. But then, obviously, after he went, I then had to sing another sort of six or seven songs.
Yeah.
So following him, that's hard. And he was like, sorry, are you still here, Dan, singing? What are you doing?
Don't worry, Dan, he's not on the phone at present. We might just be leaving a message for William Sitwell. We thought we'd try one more time.
No problem.
See, it's probably go for this. Failing that, we'll be moving into another Take That song.
Yeah, just pretend to be that.
It's the third one. It's quite astounding. No, I suspect it's going to be his answer phone. He's obviously fallen off his bike and he's not connected.
Pretend to be the bank.
Clearly. Now, you see, you might say that, but clearly we couldn't sort of work that out. I don't think he's going to go to answer phone on this particular basis. No, it seems most unusual.
Never ending.
Never mind. Clearly he realised that his star was there we are. We have tried and not succeeded on this particular basis. Sci-Fido, have you ever encountered that? Because, I mean, look-alike canines, etc. is a whole new thing. We're moving on to this. I think Jessica was taken with it last night when we actually said this is a grand event that closes Sci-Fi London, the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. So that's happening up very shortly. And, I mean, is there a Take That band of canines around? Because there probably should be, really. I mean, we must look for this.
Well, there's been lots of caricatures of Take That. They've got little figures in Lego and various people have made cakes, life-size cakes out of them. And there's some very interesting people out there in the world.
I've not seen a canine Take That, I'm saying.
It's something we will sort of consider in the last quarter of the programme. It's coming up to 26 and a half minutes past 9 o'clock on Siren 107.3 FM.
You lie. The skies up above me, a star so bright, you blind me. Don't close your eyes.
Big finish, because William Sitwell is hopefully back and he can more than just hear us. He can hopefully communicate with us as well. Is that right, William?
Yes.
Yay! Exactly. Lord, sometimes the excitement of having Gary Barlow lookalike, Dan Hatfield, sitting opposite me in the radio studio, it's phenomenal. It's only a short step before I'm sure Dan will actually be able to join you on a Soho radio gig, because you've always wanted to have a Gary Barlow lookalike and indeed wonderful, the official Gary Barlow lookalike co-presenting with you, haven't you, William?
I'm on my way, William. I'm on my way.
Right. It's a dream of mine. I can't believe it would ever happen.
Get that tandem out. We'll be fine.
Oh, it's outstanding. William, we're just talking about wine. We're sharing the whole thoughts with respect to wine, and you're absolutely right. Omar Alibi was on good form, so very good. I presume you've eaten at his tapas restaurants.
Oh, he's a wonderful guy. He's a fantastic proponent of great Spanish cooking. Oh. And you've got to go to his tapas revolution.
Well, we were there. The tapas revolution started today, and children of the tapas revolution will continue onwards. It's very strange. I don't know where we're going with respect to it. Jessica, it's your last show of Midweek Drive Morning Edition before, of course, you head off back to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, it's
so
very sad.
Thoughts from yourself for William before, of course, you return in September?
We were just talking about wine before, and I'm curious, what kind of types of wine are you into? What do you think goes with dishes, I suppose? Mm. Do you think red wine is should be with specific meals or not?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, I love all sorts of wines. I love to obviously choose the right wines to improve whatever it is I'm eating. I'm really into some of the Alsatian wines. The wines from Alsace, which are sort of crisp and fruity and have a bit of minerality around them. But it depends, I'll drink different wines for different occasions. Right now, as I'm cycling on an A road towards a village called Hurst to meet a butcher who was managing his shop in the Second World War, wine's not really on my mind, except I drank rather a lot of it last night.
But the good news is, cider is always not too far away from your good self with the three C's, and it's fair to say, Sue, you've just done a wonderful documentary for your master's in community radio production, which is all about cider, with one exception: you haven't done a feature with William Sitwell on these three C's.
No, I haven't. No, but it was clearly a great effort to do the cider making documentary at Scrumpy Wasp.
Exactly.
Yes, it was a hard shift.
So the cider we have not forgotten, and that's the important thing.
What I would say, Alex, is that basically, I mean, wine seems to be, you know, for many people, a very complicated, complex, you know, situation. And of course it is, but that shouldn't distract you from, you know, trying to find out what it is you like and experimenting with that. You know, finding a few grapes, understanding how those grapes are grown and the wines that are produced from it. And then, you know, gently exploring. And you can get amazing wines for all sorts of budgets these days. So don't let the complexity put you off.
And I have to say, I've just liked your latest Facebook comment, which says, imagine the idea of being seen chatting to me. And, of course, you've got Pippa Middleton attending a VIP lunch at the Waterside Inn, when, yes, Pippa Middleton can actually speak directly to William Sitwell, which is fantastic.
Ooh, nice.
Great stuff there. It's marvellous. So a win-win situation. William, it's been fabulous. But, Jessica, those last two questions are waiting. So off you go, my girl.
So, William, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, in a way, yes. I hope the man I'm meeting will still be alive, and I hope so will I when I get there.
And will we be hearing from you soon?
I've no idea.
Round of applause for William Sitwell. He deserves it. Energy is going there. Positive stuff. Excellence.
I guess now it's time for me to give up. I think it's time. Got a picture of you beside me. Got your lipstick mark still on your coffee cup. Oh, yeah. Got a fist of pure emotion. Got a head of shattered dreams. Got a and you see, I want you back for good. I guess now it's time that you came back for good.
This is Rachel Abbott, and when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness for On Broadcast, I always like to check out the latest news and views of Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward, and other midweek drivettes on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
So you might well say, well, OK, Jessica Ward's in the studio. She's sorting that thing throughout. No mention of Sue Rice again. It's all right, Sue. We'll get your name changed.
I'm used to being airbrushed. Don't
Dan Hadfield is obviously sort of legendary in his own sort of way. But we also mentioned Emma Tinson. Could this be because she's online?
Yes, it is.
Emma, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you all doing in the
yes, that was actually Jessica doing an impersonation of Bridget. Hello there.
No, it was me. It was just Bridget, not anyone pretending.
And there you have it. Advertising Standards Authority is very much the fore then, when Bridget can come out with those particular lines. Emma, you've had an intermittent link, so you haven't been able to listen to the whole production, but well, we've gone through with the happiness expert Dr. Robert Holden, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, of course, Dan Hatfield has been around and just doing. I mean, Dan, just, I mean, Sue, you've been beside yourself with excitement, have you not, really?
I couldn't possibly comment.
I'm disappointed to have missed the happiness expert here.
Next time, we'll get that sorted out for you. William Sitwell on his bike, Philip Carr, international wine expert and celebrity chef Omar Aliboy. So those are the sort of things you could have actually sort of commented on, but as you were in an intermittent, I suspect you just didn't get up in time as well.
Actually, you'll be very impressed with me. I've been up very early today, simply because of the fact that I'm still unpacking all of my stuff from Lincoln. I honestly didn't realise I had so many clothes.
I've got news for you, Emma. You will be forever packing from your university days, because I still am.
Oh.
And there we are. I mean, Jessica, of course, had to take on the mantle of the co-presentational reporting duties from the Burley House event, cycling all over the place. Well, cycling, tractor driving.
I saw photographs of Jess on tractors and all sorts. It looked fantastic.
It was really good.
But the good news is, as we were going to say with respect to Louis Sowey, very strange there, Louis Sowey, Sci-Fido dog show there, Dog Star and Sci-Fi London wants you to dress your dog as a famous film, TV character of your choice. So there we are, you see, as we were just saying, Dan, they're genuine Sci-Fido canines, what's not to appreciate about this?
Darth Dalmatian, I like
exactly.
Yeah.
This,
is there a Yoda?
I'll work our way through these bits and pieces, because it's first say, Emma, you will be attending, probably together with Chloe Baker and myself and Minty Steed and a few other sort of fine folk, this event a week on Sunday now.
Oh, it's come round so quickly. I'm very excited, though, because I've never heard of anything like this before, so it'll be a very interesting event. I'm sad that I don't have a dog to bring, though.
Could you borrow one? No. Rent a dog?
Listen, a dog is not just for a sci-fi event, you know.
Thank you.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, there's not an agency you can go to say, I'd like to have a dog that looks so like this. In fact, we'll just swing the screen around, because I think this might surprise you in terms of some of the past. This is the third Sci-Fido event that we've actually had coming through in this particular base. And as you can see, we've got Superman, we've got Superdog there, we've got Marilyn Monroe, we've got a whole heap of other things, and of course the classic sort of Princess Leia look, which is all that.
You watch somebody try and put a blue suit on it with a red tie and call it Gary Barlow. You watch.
But then you might suggest Gary Barlow was indeed a science fiction character. Absolutely. And is not real at all. He's been cloned. He's a clone of Dan Hadfield. You could work it around there. It would work through that. Jessica, any questions you'd like to put to Emma? Of course, because shortly you'll be heading off to the Isle of Man and we'll never hear from you again. No, we will, obviously, telephonically. Come on. There we are.
Yeah, are you looking forward to the show, the dog show, the canine?
Sci-fi day.
I am. That's indeed. It. I think it's going to be really interesting, because I've been to sci-fi events and seen people sort of cosplaying as their favourite characters and things, but I've never seen dogs doing it, so I'm very much excited, and I think it will be very interesting. I might have to sort of calm myself down with the cuteness overload.
Yeah. Even just looking at these pictures, you're getting overwhelmed.
So, I mean, we can't have an interview that starts off every phrase with,
They say about dogs looking like their owners, though. I mean, what if the actual sci-fi characters arrive with their dogs looking like them?
Precisely.
Brilliant.
That's a great idea. That's an idea for next year.
Wing
the Merciless with
them. I worry about you.
I'm introducing this in Lincolnshire next year. This is it.
We like to be paving that way.
Absolutely.
Dan Hadfield wasn't just the best schools liaison officer the University of Lincoln ever had. He's always thinking.
Creative. Up here for thinking, down here for dancing.
Looking through that process. Emma, I believe you'll be checking out some other sort of stuff at the Sci-Fi London Film Festival, because, of course, Sci-Fido is the closing day. It's the closing setup from that. Have you managed to get yourself sorted out for things from that point of view? Because you will be reporting back on some of the grand movies that we'll be seeing, including, I think, SpongeBob SquarePants. Did you want that in terms of the movie?
Interesting. Yeah. I was looking at a few different movies that need to sort of make my mind up, because there's so much on offer at the event, so it looks like it's going to be a fantastic time.
It will indeed. And of course, the other thing which ties in with the show is you're also hopefully coming up to join us as a roving reporter for the 2015 Lincolnshire show as well.
Yes, indeed. Fantastic.
We're going to see if we can get in touch with Louis Sowey for the final closing piece of the show. But Emma, have you got any questions you want to put to the official Gary Barlow? And I think it's worth saying, because one or two people who might have just joined us might not be aware of the excitement that you did over the weekend. And as I say, Sue is very pleased that, you know, other stations are available, but you've shared this with us at Siren FM. This event that you did with, indeed, the other Gary Barlow.
Yeah, it was nice. Anita and Alex's wedding up at Knowsley Hall, and Gary was secretly, we'd arranged for Gary to come along and sing And surprise Anita.
So they were expecting yourself, obviously. Yep. They booked you as Dan Hadfield.
That's right.
From the website.
Anita's a friend of mine. I offered to go and do the wedding for free. Went and did that because she's been such a great support and a friend of Anita's and a small bunch of co-conspirators had arranged for Gary to come along, and he came and surprised her, and fortunately I was able to sing with him as well.
And so. He basically sings with your good self, and it all works splendidly.
Absolutely, it was beautiful. Wow. Yeah, it was nice, Emma. Very nice. An evening he'll never forget, I'm sure.
And I want to know, actually, how do you handle super fans such as our lovely Sue Royce?
Well,
Emma, I'm pleased you said that. You know exactly.
Well,
it's quite simple. It starts with the injunction and it ends with the injunction. That's it. There's nothing more than that. You know, she brings a daughter in and plies me with sweets.
Yeah,
you know, just to try and soften the blow of the legal case that's going on.
Yeah. I think it's exclusion zone. Is that what we look for? From that perspective,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm serious though. I mean, so you did say that there's some rabid fans that take that sort of. I mean, how bad does it actually get? I mean,
My mum's not going to come anymore. I mean, she's she's going to stay away. No, I mean, they're all great. To be fair, they're all great. I'm sure that any kind of aspect of music and whether you're up there singing must breed one or two interested individuals. But by and large, everyone's been there.
Do you get many offers of people saying, "Have my children"?
Yeah, usually it's just to babysit them for an hour. Marriage proposals. Yeah. Let's not go there.
It adds a whole new range to the whole system. So really, really good stuff there. Emma, it's been fabulous as ever. Jessica, last two questions for Emma, please.
Emma, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have, thank you, Jess.
And will we be hearing from you soon?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Because I can put you in my timetable.
Of course, the Emma Tinson lookalike is a growing band of people who sort of just want to get that natural Emma Tinson look. Happens all the way. Okay, that's it. A wrap almost. We're going to see if we can get in touch with Louis Savvy. And we'll progress onwards on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for Siren 107.3 FM.
Gave me